You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
Hello and welcome into the fifth episode of the Last Word on Sports College Football Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Craycraft, and today I'm joined by Connor Ferguson. How you doing, Connor?
Not too bad. How about you?
I'm doing pretty well. And today we will begin just by previewing all of the Week 2 action. Not quite as exciting as the Week 1 action last week we had, but it isn't too bad in its own right. I've heard people say that it's a complete dud, but looking through the games, there's some sneaky good ones, and I think it should be fun. We're going to get things rolling with the Friday night game, Louisville-Syracuse. Louisville, the 15-point favorite. It'll be 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2. Louisville's coming off a very impressive 70-17 win over Charlotte, in which Lamar Jackson had an 8-touchdown performance that was pretty eye-opening to his possible Heisman contending campaign. And for Syracuse, they are coming off a 33-7 win over Colgate in Dino Babers' debut. They ran just 81 plays, which seems like a lot, but Dino after the game ended up saying that is hopefully the lowest he hopes to see this year. So what are your thoughts on this game, Connor?
Well, I thought coming into the season that this game was going to be a decent one since it was one of two Friday nighters this week. But Louisville just laid the hammer down on Charlotte, the new D1 program. I believe they're D1 this year. So I think Louisville is going to take it tomorrow night with just how bad they made Charlotte look.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think they could beat them by 15 points though?
You know, I don't know if I would take the spread in that because it's a conference game. So that's yeah. One I'd probably go with Syracuse on.
Yeah, especially in the Carrier Dome. It should be rocking.
Exactly.
And look for Eric Dungy. He played pretty well in last week's performance with Syracuse. Just to see if he can keep up. He played very efficiently last game, but it's a different level against the Louisville team compared to a Colgate team. As we move on to some Saturday action, we begin with North Carolina State against East Carolina. NC State is a 5-point favorite. NC State is coming off a big win over William & Mary, and East Carolina is coming off a pounding of Western Carolina. The one key that I kind of found in this game was just to watch out for the NC State running back, Matthew Hayes. He's coming off 138 yards. And this East Carolina rushing defense gave up 148 to Western Carolina last week, so I think that could be an advantage for the Wolfpack. What say you, Connor?
Man, I wish I could go to North Carolina and just see how big these games are to some. Cause I don't know. NC State and then East Carolina, you know, pretty close together for two schools. So I don't know if that's like a huge rivalry down there or what. And anything can happen in a rivalry, and I'm sure we'll get to that with the Iowa game later. But I think NC State is just going to take it. Just being a Power 5 conference over them is going to weigh them down a bit. Now, there could be an upset, sure, but I'm taking NC State.
Yeah, I tend to agree. East Carolina has been solid in the past, but I think NC State ends up taking this one. And now to one of the more highly anticipated games on Saturday, 12 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, Penn State versus Pittsburgh, a big interstate battle. It'll be played at Heinz Field, the Steelers Stadium. They're both coming off wins over lesser teams. The one thing that I will certainly be keeping my eye on is the running back battle. You got James Conner, and I'm very glad he's back in our college football lives after he last week after overcoming cancer. And then on the other side of the football, you have Saquon Barkley, one of the best running backs in the Big Ten, coming off 105 yards and a score. What kind of matchups will you be looking forward to in this one?
The running back, I mean, you covered it really well. I'm really excited to see James Conner back on the field after the cancer stuff, and that kid is such a great talent, and he was a great talent before that stuff happened, so it's awesome to see him back, and I think he can have an impact in his first big game of 2016. Penn State, it's really, they're a curious team, you know, they can, they've gone 7-6 the past 2 years, and 7-5 the year before that, so it's really weird to kind of predict where they're going to lose. So, I mean, this could easily be one at Pittsburgh that they get taken down.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh is a 5-point favorite in that one. And it'll be interesting to see, because I think both defenses will be gearing up to stop the run in this one. So it'll be interesting to see whether Trace McSorley or Nathan Peterman can make the defenses pay. And one other note, the over-under is 48, and I would definitely bet the under on that one, just because I don't see a whole lot of points being scored in this one.
Especially when they're trying to have a running game with two great running backs. So we'll see if either of them want to try to test some quarterback skills.
Yeah, and I think I'd take Pitt in this one. I'm not a big Penn State believer. I don't think I just believe that Narduzzi is a better coach than Franklin is, so we will see if that holds true.
And Pittsburgh's got that senior quarterback in Peterman, and Penn State's over here with a sophomore who hasn't started, isn't a regular starter, so.
Yeah. So you would take Pittsburgh as well?
Yes, Pittsburgh for sure.
Let's move on into the afternoon games. We start with an inter-SEC battle with Kentucky going to Florida. Florida is a 17-point favorite after Kentucky kind of disappointed some after blowing that big second-half lead last week to Southern Miss. And Florida, they didn't look great last week against UMass, but they ended up getting the victory. The big question I have is, will Florida let Luke Del Rio throw 44 times again? Because if so, I don't think that'll end too well for the Gators. I think they got to rely on the run game and let Del Rio just take what the defense gives them. What are you looking for in this game?
Now, I didn't catch a ton of the Florida game last week, but I heard it was not good. And, you know, Massachusetts is not a marquee program, and only knocking them 24-7 isn't the best. But at the end of the day, a win's a win. And Kentucky's always a curious case. They haven't been bowling since 2010. So I don't see Kentucky bouncing back from a loss to Southern Miss, a really disappointing one. And I think Florida's definitely going to take this.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Would you lay the points as well on that one?
What's the spread? Sorry.
It's Florida minus 17.
Oh, man. I don't think so. They only got UMass last week by 17, so.
That's a very good point, and it'll be interesting what comes about that one. We move into this. This is why some are saying it's a little bit of a slow week, because this is one of the like biggest 15 games of the week. Wake Forest against Duke, which is not typically a matchup that many would care about, but it was one of the more notable ones.
That's just the ACC getting the short end of the stick when they play games before all the marquee games get taken, so some of these programs get overlooked. Like Duke has been on the rise for the past year, and I think it's going to be a decent game.
Yeah, Duke comes out as a 5-point favorite, which I like quite a bit. Wake Forest is coming off a 7-3 win over Tulane, which is less than stellar. And Duke is coming over shellacking Central. And in that game for the Demon Deacons, they were outgained 175 to 280, so they were lucky to pull that one out. And on Duke, able to perform as a freshman after Thomas Cirque was injured this before the season starts. What are you looking forward to in this one?
Well, Wake Forest definitely can't rely on 3 points from the defense this week. Duke had 49 last week against North Carolina Central, but so I mean, you got an offense that can do something. If they got 49, it doesn't matter who it's against. So I think Duke's offense is ultimately gonna try to overpower Wake Forest, and I think I would take Duke with the spread.
Yeah, I agree, because Marks was only able to get 7 against Tulane, which is a bit of a struggle, and I was better than Tulane. So I definitely like that spread. Take the 5 points, and I'm picking Duke as well. We move on to an AAC battle, UConn versus Navy. It'll be 3:30 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports Network. Navy is a 4-point favorite. Navy coming off a victory against New York's one true team, the Fordham Rams, 52-16. And UConn coming out off of a squeaker against Maine, not the biggest FCS program. Navy, they did look good in their first game without Keenan Reynolds, and we'll have to see if UConn can raise their level of play against a more quality team. Who are you liking in this one?
I'm liking Navy, even though they don't got Keenan Reynolds from last season. That's still a strong system that coach has over there, and I think they're gonna take UConn to the house. UConn hasn't been the most successful program over the past decade, and the loss to Maine kind of, or the close game to Maine kind of showed that, and I think Navy's going to take this.
Yeah, I agree. Bob Diaco might be looking for a new job come this off season for UConn. Let's move on to one of the, maybe the biggest game of the night, Arkansas versus TCU. TCU is an 8-point favorite at home in Fort Worth. This will be a primetime ESPN game. Arkansas is coming off a weird game against Louisiana Tech in which they only won 21-20. And TCU, they struggled a bit with South Dakota State, albeit South Dakota State is one of the best 5 FCS teams, but they should have been able to handle them a little bit easier. Kenny Hill, the Texas A&M transfer, Kenny Trill, as some would like to say, he looked okay, although he did have 2 turnovers, and he'll have to play better than that if TCU wants to come away with the victory. What are you liking from both sides on this one?
Ah, man, it's great to see TCU schedule a good non-conference opponent in the
very true
high school, especially Arkansas. I think Keon Hatcher is going to be a big factor in this one for the Razorbacks, with Big 12 is known for their bad defense. TCU especially, it's not hard to pass the ball against them. So, I do think Kenny Hill will make an improvement. You know, week one with a new team, it's hard to do. And South Dakota State is fantastic in the FCS. But I think I'm going to come off as biased, but I'd probably take TCU.
Yeah, I think this will be a close one. TCU's defense was expected to be a strength this season, but it did not look good in that game last week. And I think the key will be who controls the pace in this one. TCU will want to push the pace, but Arkansas will like to slow it down and kind of dominate on the ground, so it'll be interesting who can establish that. I think it'll be a close one. I think I'll take TCU outright, but I'll take Arkansas +8. But if Arkansas can end up pulling this one out, it would maybe quiet down. There's been a lot of the SEC is dead talks this week, so I think that might quiet it down just a little bit to see them win over a top 15 program.
That'd be a big win for Arkansas if they could, and for the SEC if they could do that.
Right, and give them some confidence going into the conference slate. Do you have any more thoughts on this one?
I think I'm good. I'd probably take TCU with the spread even. I mean, 8 is kind of a smaller spread, so it's difficult to gauge. But
yeah, and we move from one SEC program to two others with South Carolina, Mississippi State. Mississippi State is a 7-point favorite even after they lost to Southern Alabama last week by Mississippi State. The post-Dak Prescott era is starting off rough down in Starkville. And South Carolina, they're coming off a 13-10 victory against Vanderbilt. It just kind of shows how not very good the Gamecocks are if they are still a 7-point underdog after against the team who lost to South Alabama. Two bright spots that I kind of saw out of the Gamecocks, were their passing D. They only allowed 73 last week to Vanderbilt, albeit not a strong passing game, but that's impressive nonetheless. And a name to watch, Brian Edwards, their freshman wide receiver. He started out his career well with 8 catches for 101 yards. What are your thoughts on this one?
This is the SEC Pillowfight game this week. Normally they have a week where they play FCS, but this counts. So, man, this is a slow week. I think I would take South Carolina just because, it's not because South Alabama took down Mississippi State, but South Carolina showed a lot of heart in that Vanderbilt game and didn't quit. They had multiple times where they could have gone ahead and they didn't. And
yeah.
Drove the ball down the field in a reasonable amount of time to get that field goal.
Yeah, I kind of just think of this one as a close game, so I don't think either team will win by 7, so I think I'll take the points with South Carolina in this one, but I could see Mississippi State pulling it out, but I think it'll be in a close one. And we move on. Once you start getting into the night games, it gets a little more exciting, I think.
We'll
move on. I don't know if this is the one you're looking for, but this is North Carolina against Illinois. North Carolina is a 9-point favorite matchup. Lovie Smith's first game for Illinois was a win 52-3 against Murray State. My one question is, can North Carolina finally allow less than 200 yards rushing? They've struggled to do it from last week, so they really need to step that up. And I think on the other side of the ball for the Tar Heels, I think they'll end up dominating on the ground with Elijah Hood and TJ Logan, and I think it should be a victory for North Carolina, and I will give the points as well.
What's the spread? Sorry, you broke up a little bit.
It's North Carolina -9.
Man, not, jeez. I mean, I'm going to take Illinois for the spread. The game's going to be close. This is a very interesting interconference matchup. And I think West Lund was, oh man, that's right, they did lose to him last year. That's a big 48-14 loss last year at North Carolina. I think being at Illinois is going to help the Illini, but North Carolina is probably going to ultimately come away at the win.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if Mitch Trubisky can get a little more downfield action. Last week he struggled to do that against a tougher Bulldogs defense. We move on to one of my favorite games of the weekend, BYU-Utah, the Holy War. Utah is a 3-point favorite. This will be the Big Fox game for the week. BYU is coming off a late Saturday night victory over the Arizona Wildcats. Relatively easy 24-0 win over Southern Utah. Kalani Sitake, I was impressed with the way he was able to come out, replacing Bronco Mendenhall for the Cougars. They have a quality defense, and I think the offensive combination of Taysom Hill and Jamal Williams gives them a stout attack on offense. What are your thoughts on the Cougars?
So who's starting right now for BYU? Is it Taysom Hill or?
Yeah, it's Taysom Hill.
It is Hill? Okay. I mean, that doesn't change the fact that I'm going to take BYU just because both of those kids are very great talents. Utah's an interesting team when they were coming up the ranks last year and they were supposed to run the table and go into the CFP, but obviously it's a tough thing to do. So it's an overlooked game because they're not name brand programs, but I think this will be one of the best games all weekend.
Yeah, Utah loses Devontae Booker and their starting quarterback from last year, so they have a lot of talent loss to overcome, but Utah's defensive line, I think it's one of the top 5 in the country, so it'll be tough to get a push against the Utes. And Kyle Whittingham's teams always end up scrapping out wins in all 3 phases of the game, so I think I will take Utah and give the points. I think the Utes are being overlooked in this one, but I do think BYU will put up And now we move on to a game that is near and dear to your heart, Iowa State, Iowa. Iowa is a 15-point favorite, 7:30 Eastern time on the Big Ten Network. I'm just going to let you take it away, and I'll add what I think hasn't been spoken on.
Oh man, this is a weird one to talk about. There's I haven't watched an Iowa State game thinking I knew who was going to win at the end of the day. And this year, I think Iowa takes the W pretty handily. Iowa State's offensive line showed against Northern Iowa that they were not ready for week one. So they got to improve a lot. And then Mike Ward only had 30 yards because of that. So that's going to have to change. And Iowa's just such a dynamic talent. They got C.J. Beathard, Desmond King, all these playmakers that I think it's going to be way too much for Iowa State to handle. And it's either going to be a blowout or a three-point game.
But you can't envision a scenario in which the Cyclones come out with a win.
If Iowa State comes out with a win, they're going to have to not throw it deep as much because I don't envision that working against Iowa's corners. I think if Iowa State does win, they win the turnover battle and they chug their way up the field with 9 to 10 play drives.
Yeah.
I mean, can see it. It's a rivalry game. Anything can happen in the Cy-Hawk game. 2005, Iowa State beat Iowa when they were ranked 9th at Jack Trice. So it's a curious case of just we don't know what's going to happen until game time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think I see the Hawkeyes winning this one rather handily. 15 is a lot. I think I would probably take Iowa State plus the points.
Yeah, they were down here, they're saying 18, and I'm sure they're using just a different site. But
yeah.
I made a couple bets on taking Iowa State with the spread.
Yeah, because it's hard to win a rivalry game by that much, no matter what the talent difference is. And the Hawkeyes weren't as impressive as the score looked last week. They lost. I mean, they beat Miami of Ohio 45-21, but they were outgained in that one, 424-404. So they just kind of came up with some timely plays on offense and defense to beat Miami of Ohio. And I do expect the Hawkeyes to kind of run the ball down the Cyclones' throat, and it'll be interesting to see how Iowa State can move the ball, if at all. But
yeah, it's not looking the greatest for Iowa State right now. And that Matt Campbell, the new coach over here, I'm sure, I hope he has something up his sleeve for Iowa.
Yes, very true. We move on to the battle at Bristol, one that's been talked about for a while now. Virginia Tech, Tennessee. Tennessee is a 12-point favorite. That'll be the ABC game. They'll be there for game day. Tennessee coming off a dicey performance against Appalachian State, in which they won 20-13 in overtime. And Virginia Tech ended up taking a late lead over Liberty 36-13 to win that one. The big question I have is how good Jerod Evans really is, because he performed quite well in that Liberty game, but this Tennessee defense will be a and Tennessee, I expect them to come out with a lot more intensity compared to last week. They came out flat, but this will be there'll be a lot of energy in Bristol, and I expect them to come out with a little bit more fire. What are you looking at in terms of this game?
I guess this is my second favorite game of the week, and next to the Cy-Hawk game. But, I mean, I love this game just because whose idea was it to put college football on a NASCAR track? I love it. Absolutely a fantastic idea. It's going to be like a winter classic in hockey, but with warm weather. So I hope the fans can see it well because I think it's going to be a decent game. I think Jerod Evans does perform under the lights, because any game with a lot of hype is just like a rivalry game, the fact that anything can happen. And Tennessee definitely showed that they got some weaknesses, but I'm sure they'll come out stronger than ever because of that scare last week. So I think I'd have to take Tennessee.
Even with the 12 points?
Ah, man, the spread, like, that's tough because it's such a big game. So I'm probably going to side with Virginia Tech on that one. But
I tend to agree just because I have a tough time believing in Josh Dobbs to lead them to a big victory. If they rely on the ground game as much as they should with Kamara and Jalen Hurd, I think it'll spell good things for the Volunteers, but I don't know if they'll end up doing that. I do expect them, the Volunteers, to pull out the victory, but I expect Virginia Tech and Justin Fuente to keep it close. And as we move on, these are the later night games, and I think this is a very, very good slate of late night games, especially if you're on the West Coast. Stay up for these. You'll want multiple screens up because it'll be a lot of action to follow. We begin with Texas Tech at Arizona State. Arizona State is a 3-point favorite. This game starts at 10 p.m. Eastern time on FS1. They are both coming off of big wins over FCS schools. The over-under is 80, so expect a shootout, and I guess you would expect nothing less with Texas Tech coming into town. And can Arizona State contain Patrick Mahomes, because he is one of the more dynamic playmakers in the country, because otherwise it might be giving Sun Devil fans nightmares. What are you looking forward to in this one?
This is another interesting interconference matchup, and Texas Tech is going to surprise people. I think a lot of people are going to take Arizona State in this one, but I'm looking at Texas Tech and Mahomes. It's like they got a shootout firepower offense that will just bomb it, and they'll make everything work in the air. So I think definite believer of the Red Raiders taking this one.
Yeah, I will also take Texas Tech, and you get some points with that too, so even better. ASU lost a lot of talent, and I'm not sure about their defense yet. I don't know if Todd Graham has them in full swing quite yet, and I think that could spell trouble against a high-powered offense. The next game, and I think this is actually my favorite game of the weekend, Washington State against Boise State. Boise is an 11-point favorite. Washington State coming off a slightly shocking loss to Eastern Washington, 45-42. And Boise State trumped Louisiana Lafayette last week, 45-10. I think Washington State is better than they performed. Eastern Washington is a quality FCS opponent, but I think they'll come to play in this one. Luke Fault is a very talented player, and I think he'll sling it around. But I do expect, in the end, for Boise to take this one, because Washington State's defense is just putrid, and they just always seem to find the mismatches when they're out there. What kind of matchups are you looking forward to in this one?
You know, I was surprised that Boise went to a road game and just absolutely dominated. They don't always impress me in the non-conference season, but this year definitely was a big one, especially with Brett Ripon. He's a very experienced sophomore quarterback, and I think he'll lead the team this week to a win. Washington State, yeah, you can't fault them for losing to Eastern Washington, because you saw with Iowa State last week, that just happens. FCS and State schools know each other so well, and Eastern Washington just happens to be one of the top FCS schools. So I think, I definitely think, though, that Washington State's going to go down.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of expect Boise maybe a 14-point game when it ends up finishing. And we move on down. We go slightly westward to the Oregon Ducks against the Virginia Cavaliers. Oregon is a 25-point favorite. Virginia's coming off one of the more surprising games of the weekend, in which they dropped the Richmond game 20-37. And Oregon, they didn't look great against UC Davis, but I expect them to rebound. 25 points is a lot. I would take Virginia with the points, but I expect Oregon to win this one handily. Dakota Prukop came in and he looked good, the transfer from Montana State. Brady Hoke continues to make improvements on the defense, and that'll be big as the games start getting tougher, especially next week when they go into Lincoln to take on Nebraska And one name just to keep your eye on, Troy Dye. He was all over the place last week, making plays left and right in the backfield. The freshman linebacker, he will be a name to watch all season long. And we'll see if Bronco Mendenhall can get the Cavaliers ready for this one in a tough environment.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's any way Virginia wins this game. I mean, Oregon's just made too much for them, and it's at Oregon, too, so.
Yeah, Autzen should be rocking late night, 7:30 p.m. Pacific time on ESPN. And the final game of the weekend that we will be previewing, California against San Diego State. San Diego State is a 7-point favorite. This one will be 10:30 p.m. Eastern time on CBS Sports Network. Cal's coming off that win 2 weeks ago in Australia, down under, against Hawaii. And San Diego State put the beat down on New Hampshire last weekend. I expect Donnell Pumphrey, the San Diego State running back, to run all over Cal's defense because Cal's getting gashed last 2 weeks ago by Hawaii, and Donnell Pumphrey will be a whole different animal compared to what they've seen, so I expect him to have a big day. I expect Davis Webb to be able to move the ball for California, but I don't know if it'll be enough because San Diego State is always just a tough defensive team going back to when they had Brady Hoke. They've just always kind of maintained that mantra. 7 points. I think I'll take Cal, though, just because I expect it to remain close because Davis Webb can kind of air it out and is very comfortable in that Sonny Dykes system.
You know, I agree with the running back from San Diego State, but I do think Davis Webb is going to be a big factor in this one. Going from Jared Goff and thinking you don't have a quarterback after him, you got Davis Webb, his experience from Texas Tech, and he also knows how to air the ball out. So I think California takes this one too.
Well, that's all the games we have to preview this week. Connor, is there anything else you want to say about week two?
I think I'm all right. I'm not confident about it, but look for Iowa State for the upset, I guess.
Hopefully, you say. So as we said, this weekend is it's less than stellar, but it's still college football. I'm still excited that it's back just in general. And you get the NFL starting back this weekend, so you get football 4-5 days in a row, so you can't complain about that. You can follow me on Twitter at @A_Craycraft. Connor, what's your handle?
At CFChange9.
Yes, and then you can go visit us at lastwordoncollegefootball.com. We just expanded a lot of great content up there, plenty of team previews for the weeks, and come to us after as well, after the week, because we will have all the recaps. And check back for the pod next week after week two concludes, and hopefully it outperforms our expectations. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you guys later.